was probably the closest McCaskey to the fan base. And he emotes that way sometimes. Yeah. I would have appreciated a little bit more of that. I understand what your role is. And again, there's a long spectrum between what the McCaskeys do and what Jerry Jones does. But a couple years ago, they were totally fine with telling you how angry Virginia was at what's going on. I'm okay with ownership or the chairman of the team talking about the real disappointment without kicking it back downstairs.
And play the meatball card.
He doesn't even have to be a meatball, but he can talk about in more clearer terms their disappointment. Every single level of this organization, from the way that this team was built to the way that the GM, the chairman, whatever Ted Phillips's title is, the way that they talk about the quarterback, they talk about a guy who I don't even know if Mitch is fragile. I don't want to put that on him, but it seems like everyone there up there thinks that he is. And if you think that, if you believe that the quarterback is so fragile that he can't take any public thoughts on his poor play, then you don't have him.
No, then you get the wrong guy.
You don't have the quarterback.
It may also be on every level a evidence of their understanding that Pace is tied to Trubisky, that Pace knows it, that George knows it, that everybody knows it, that when Mitch is done, it may be a tacit acknowledgement that it's all done.
Maybe. And here's the thing. I wasn't expecting the Bears to tell you today that Mitch wasn't going to be the starter. I expected that. It makes all the sense in the world for him, even contractually, to be the starting quarterback. But at least acknowledge, and maybe they will with what they do with the rest of the quarterback room, acknowledge that this isn't going as well as we hoped by this point.
It was supposed to be better than this. And when you trade up to take a guy second overall, other guys in the draft class are clearly better than he is.
It's so much worse than that. Supposed to be better. Yes, it was supposed to be better than that. It was also not supposed to fall to the very bottom three teams in the NFL.
And that doesn't mean that there you don't allow for Mitch to bounce back next season. It's possible that he could bounce back next season, that whatever they do with him in the offseason or whether it's competition, you can still believe in that and prepare for the other things. You can still even say that if you want to. You can say, look, we expect that Mitch is going to play well next year. But we have to make sure that we are in the best position to win football games in case he doesn't next year. Because that's how you ended up with an offense that was specifically tailored from a coaching standpoint for the quarterback until they got on the field. Everyone on your offensive side of the ball is there to make him better. You've got Nagy. You've got Helfrich. You've got Ragone. You went out and brought in Brad Childress. You got him a babysitter in the quarterback room. You got him another guy that went into the system that can help explain it to him. You did all of these things for this season to take the next jump. And at the end of it, now the head coach is like, I think that he could be better at reading coverages.
After all this.
After everything they did as an organization to help prop him up. You are now at the end of a season where the head coach, who I'm guessing between Sunday and now, has looked at every throw on film and went, there's a problem here.
Let me add another level to exactly what you're saying here. Because go back and read what Dave Ragone said during training camp. And what they were saying about why he didn't need to play in exhibition games. And I'm not relitigating that for better or for worse, whether it would have made a difference.
No.
I just as far as what they said about what they were seeing in practice and what they knew. And they said night and day, they said that he was taking every next step. They said that it was going to the 200 level. They said that he had a better understanding of everything. So either they were misevaluating him or they weren't doing enough simulation of what opposing defensive coordinators would actually do. Something was going wrong, despite having a new defensive coordinator with new ideas and maybe showing new things, and despite the fact that with every report in practice of missed throws, interceptions, everything they were seeing, no, ignore that, you're not seeing that. Either they were going out of their way to see what they wanted to see, or they weren't properly preparing him for what was actually going to happen. And it may be some mixture of both, but to have it fail that badly when you said it was better, you said it was going to be better, you said it was better, you said everything was progressing properly, you were wrong. Something was not done right there. Now it's like, yeah, well, he doesn't know how to read defenses. How can you not know that? How could you have started this year not only not knowing that, but being so wrong about it?
And go back to Pace's evaluation of Mitch and what he said about Mitch when they drafted him.
Ugh. It's just so wildly offbeat.
Completely. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. It's disappointing. It's all of us kind of thought that it would be kind of what it was, but it was even worse. It's funny because there are a couple of texters like, yeah, I was stealing myself for Ryan Pace to be bad. And now, after going, no, there's no way they should get rid of him. After listening to him today, this texter is like, yeah, I would understand why.
Sure.
And I'm not even calling for that. All I'm calling for is if you're going to take other players and position groups to task, and the Bears did that today, they have done it throughout the season. Why isn't the quarterback held to that standard? If we can talk about all of the issues that the offensive line had, and they were aplenty. If we can talk about the receivers not being where they were supposed to be, and I'm going to put that in quotation marks because I don't fully trust them that they're right about that. If we can talk about the kicking position, if we can talk about everyone else but him, that's a problem. And if your quarterback is too fragile to handle public criticism, go through the list of the guys that you think were good to great at the quarterback position, and you tell me which one of them was fragile. Like, how that word would be used to describe the guy that's supposed to be leading your franchise.
There aren't many. There just aren't many.
All right, have a happy new year, Lawrence.
Same to you guys.
See you, man.
That's Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I got you until 2 o'clock today. I didn't have the day off. I was coming in here regardless so that we could talk about what's going on with the Bears. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Mr. Dickens, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
A rating of 83. 83. When you look at the guys that he's ranked 37, by the way, in passer rating. Here are the guys that are behind him in passer rating. Mason Rudolph, Kyle Allen, Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton. Okay, well, wait. Passer rating doesn't take into account what Mitch can do with his legs, and he can do a lot of good stuff with his legs, right? Fine. Let's go to QBR. Mitch's QBR this year's total QBR was 40.6. You know where that ranks him? Fourth from the bottom in the NFL. So, yes, there are mitigating circumstances. There are things outside of his control. But if we've learned nothing this year, we should have learned that he's not good enough to elevate. That if nothing else, you should have learned by now that he doesn't have it within him to make the rest of this stuff better.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Bears. They had their end of the season press conference, which I thought there was one really great moment in the press conference and a lot of gobbledygook, which is fine. I mean, it's talking, so I know that some of it is going to be that. We're going to give you some chunks of it. We're not going to run it back whole, but we went through it, and we're going to give you some chunks for people who were not in their car or not at their desk. You're probably a little bit off schedule anyway today. Maybe you're not working, but there are definitely some things that we want to do. The production staff today, Herbie's off. Christopher Dickens is going to be the EP of the show today. And Rick Camp is here. So you'll hear both of their voices throughout the show. To make some of my opinions clear before we get to the press conference stuff, I in no way expect GMs or coaches to scorch earth their players. When something like that does happen, it is usually met with shock because it doesn't happen very often. I'm not sure if what the Bears as a franchise saw in their assessment of the 2019 season is 100% what they presented today in their press conferences, but I was expecting a little bit more. And I will tell you that the bar that I have for the Bears as an organization in that regard is fairly low. So for them to not reach my low expectations, save for one, I think, very important part of the press conference, was a little bit surprising. So that you understand how I feel about Mitch Trubisky. Of course he's going to be the quarterback next year, or at least be given a chance to be the quarterback next year. And I think that he should. I think that he should get every opportunity to be the quarterback next year. But in that opportunity should be an honest evaluation of where he's at. And it seems as if in year three, that evaluation was not honest. That they were seeing what they wanted to see instead of what they were actually seeing. Save for one moment in the press conference, which I'll get to in a little bit. Obviously, it's not all on the quarterback, but the mitigation that people will go through to try and tell you that he's good or that he just hasn't reached his potential, the backflips and the backbends that you're doing to try and say it is amazing to me. Yes, for the record, the offensive line was bad. Yes, the Bears didn't have a run game in part because the offensive line was bad. But you'll go to war for Allen Robinson, right? Anthony Miller, too. Those are good receivers, aren't they? It's almost as if people don't want to put anything on Mitch. This is a quarterback who's played 3 years now, whose passer rating is in the mid-80s. When league average is a little above 90. He started 41 games. And what I was talking about in the open still applies. Until the middle of the season this year, Deshaun Watson had offensive line problems and run game problems. He was able to elevate the Texans. And I know you don't want to hear about Deshaun because it's another example of the GM not doing his job in the evaluation process, which he then went back and doubled down on today, telling you how few games Mitchell Trubisky played in college. Whose effing fault is that? That wasn't taken into the equation when you traded picks to move up one spot to draft the quarterback who didn't play enough games in college. Well, I'm here to tell you he's played enough games in the pros. We can throw North Carolina tape away. We don't even need it. Outside of the Gruden quarterback camp stuff, which you should go look at it because it's fascinating. And the same stuff that was happening to Mitch at the end of his North Carolina career where he didn't understand coverages or where things were coming from plagues him today. But whose job was that? Whose job was to factor in that maybe playing and picking a quarterback who didn't play a lot of games might have some consequences when it comes to his learning curve. The guy who picked him, the guy who in the video after they picked him went around the room and pointed to all his evaluators and said, we had consensus on this quarterback. That's his fault. Don't talk to me about Adam Shaheen playing at a small college. That's part of the evaluation process. You were supposed to factor in the fact that Adam Shaheen played at a small college, and it might be difficult if he doesn't have incredible athletic skills like Tariq Cohen, who played at a smaller college, for him to adjust to the speed-power ratio in the NFL. That's on you. Leonard Floyd, at the college level, didn't play the position that he's playing now. They moved him all over the place. Those are things that the people evaluating are supposed to look at and go, does it really fit what we want to do? Are we going to use him the same way that Georgia used him? These are all factors that the general manager and his staff of scouts are supposed to dissect and decide. Now that we know that they did dissect it and decided it, why in the world, seeing the results, would you have faith that they know what they're doing? There's no reason to. And every time, and I get why he doesn't like to talk, because every time that Ryan Pace talks, he gives you more ammunition to go, oh man, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. That's too bad. And there were plenty of examples of it today. Look, I get it. I get that you're like, well, Lawrence, why are you so mad? It's just a press conference. I understand your point. I really do, that their actions will tell you more about this than even them sitting down at the press conference. What I'm telling you is that their actions leading up to this press conference tell you more. And that you have to put all of that stuff together and go, is this really the crew that's got it right? Do they really understand? You want to talk about fat and happy? The Bears coming into the 2019 season are the definition of it. Fat and happy. 12-4, the blame was easily placed on the right foot of Cody Parkey. That was the only thing that was keeping them from going to the Super Bowl. Cody Parkey and the double doink, even though the quarterback didn't play great until the end. And even then, didn't score the touchdown that you needed to win the game. Just put you in position for a 43-yard field goal. You left it to that. Your offense hasn't scored points. They averaged 17.5 points this year. That ranks at the bottom of the NFL. It's very convenient for them to pound their chest in the year, the 100th year of the NFL, the league that George Halas started, and for them to look for the connection of, well, oh my God, George Halas' birthday is Super Bowl Sunday. How great would that be if the Bears won on Papa Bear Halas' birthday? The league came in here on Thursday night. The season started. The celebration was on. Here's the Super Bowl. Here's Matt Nagy dressed up like Papa Bear Halas for clicks. Everything was great until the ball got kicked off. This has been a fat and happy organization, and I refuse to allow them the space or the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the mistakes that they've clearly made and their inability to tell you that they've made mistakes And what they do and what they've continued to do is globalize the issues of the football team so it's not to put pressure on the guy who's slinging the rock. It's everyone else has to get better so that they can help Mitch. Well, if you trade up to get the number two pick in the draft and you're so committed to that guy being special over the other picks, we won't name names, Watson and Mahomes, over those two guys, then he has to be good enough to elevate the rest of the guys. If we're going to throw it on everybody else to say, well, I mean, it's a